I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, I'm Chanti.
And I'm Lynx, and you're listening to Muses.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Muses Podcast. We are the podcast all about the women of rock and roll, from the wives, the girlfriends, the groupies, to the PR women, to the photographers, to the musicians themselves. We cover it all. Welcome. So for the first time, we're doing something a little different today. We wanted to reach out to our music-loving community and ask you guys for some stories. We want to hear about how you got into working in the music industry, or the day you realized that you were a groupie, stories of being on tour with your favorite band, everything in between. In part one of this special kind of episode, we're going to present to you two amazing women who heard our groupie call and turned out with some amazing tales.
First up is our friend Trell, a Toronto turned Parisian doll who we know from Miss Pamela's writing workshops. She's a teacher, writer, mom, and stepmom, and I cannot believe that I've been writing with her for all of these years and I didn't know this incredible story.
I had no idea you didn't know, and it was so much fun getting to like relive it through you because it's such a fun tale.
Yeah.
Chelany tells us about how she met her now husband, who played in the band The Asteroids Galaxy Tour. This story is truly one that you need to hear to believe. So without further ado, here it is.
So let's say it was a Monday. It was November the 5th, 2012. And I'm going to go back a tiny bit before that July, August, 2012. And I had moved back to Toronto. I'd lived in Vancouver and I'd moved back to Toronto in 2011. And I was sort of just getting back to things. And anyhow, I was shopping. Do you guys remember the store Mendocino on Queen Street West? I shopped there never. And I was randomly in that store, just chilling on Queen Street West. And I heard this song playing on the speakers in the store, and I took out my phone and I Shazammed it, and I was like, what is this? This is cool. Because it was making me move, and I was looking at clothes that were ridiculous, but I was like, this is cool. And so I was just dancing by myself in this store, and so I Shazammed the song, and the song was The Golden Age by the Asteroids Galaxy Tour. And if you don't know that song, it was really popular in the Heineken beer commercial, where the guy ends up playing the flute at the end and they're at a party in a house. If you look it up, the Golden Age in Heineken, you'll see it.
I actually cut my hair like the lead singer of that band when I had platinum blonde hair, and I was teaching at the time, and it was around Halloween, and one of the students asked if I was wearing a wig.
Well, let me tell you, her hair is amazing and she styles it herself. She's lovely. But before we get there, so I heard the song and I loved this song. I thought this was amazing. And so we're going to go to July, August, 2012. And I was like, you know, I'm totally into this band. I checked out their album and I loved it. And they had a second album coming out. And I said, when are they going to come to Toronto, because I love live music. That's what I do. So I was like, I need to see when they're coming. So I Googled it and I missed them by a day. No. They had been in Toronto and I missed them by a day. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I put a notice, like a Google search notice on my phone, that's like for the next time they're coming, to give me a notification. And so this notification came in August that they were coming back in November 2012. So I was like, okay. I'm going to get tickets. So I remember I got tickets for November in August, and they changed the venue because they didn't sell as many tickets for the show as they'd wanted. So it went from being at, I think it was supposed to be at the Sound Academy, and it ended up being at the Hoxton. Does the Hoxton still exist in Toronto?
I don't know.
I've never heard of it. It's at Bathurst and Queen, south of Queen, north of King. And it's next to, or it was next to, a 24-hour diner. Very important. And it was across from Healy's, Jeff Healy's.
I know the place. I'm not sure if it's there still though.
It was across from Healy's. So yeah. Anyhow, the Hoxton, little club, like super tiny. The stage is insanely small. I can send you a picture from that night so you can see where I was with the stage.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, I was super excited. My friend Mitchie and I, because she's my concert friend, Michelle, I call her Mitchie. She's my concert buddy. So the two of us were like, let's go. She's always up. She doesn't care what it is. If I say I have concert tickets, she's there. So concert buddy. And so we go, and I hadn't shaved my legs. I wasn't going for any particular reason. I really wanted to meet the singer, Meta, the girl, because I thought she was just cool, and I actually really loved the lyrics to the second album. And I should tell you, at this, when I first discovered the band, I was dating someone, and we broke up because I'd had enough, and I ended up kind of harshly kicking him out of my house, like told him he had to be gone the next day, and I was done. It felt so good and so liberating, I have to tell you. Oh God, it felt so good. He didn't like it, but I really didn't care. Yeah. I was like, you just have to go. And I, like, weight literal off chest. And so, anyhow, I'd listened a lot to these Asteroids albums. I lived in the suburbs. I lived in Oshawa at the time, in the house that I bought myself on my own. And I was kind of in a really good place. I was single. I was happy with being single. I wasn't going to settle for anybody anymore. I spent time with my girlfriends. I'd taken up hula hooping. I was cooking really healthy and really enjoying it. I'd auditioned for cooking shows and made some finals and stuff. Like, I'd really found my groove, you could say. So I was literally just going to this concert on a Monday night to dance, because they make music that makes you move, to dance and have a really good time. So we got there, and I got my classic cocktail, my Ryan Ginger Ale, just one, just to christen the night. And we went to the front. We pushed our way up and got to the front row. And I was so close that Meta's shoes, the singer, Meta, she's called, her shoes were like here. They're like, if I wasn't careful, I could get kicked in the face, or if she wasn't careful, but she's lovely. She would never kick anyone.
She's so gorgeous. She can kick me in the face any day.
It's intimidating how gorgeous she is. Let me tell you, it is so intimidating how gorgeous she is. But it's also, I'm fast forwarding a bit, but she's so nice. She's so lovely. She's like a truly beautiful person. Like, it just, she radiates beauty, comes out of her because she is that way. She's such a sweet girl, woman, girl, anyway, person. So we're at the front and I had such a good time. They played all the songs I wanted to hear except one. There's just one song I haven't heard them play live. I wanted to hear Bad Fever, and they've never played Bad Fever live. So that's okay. Anyhow, they played a bunch of songs and I was singing along and I was dancing, and I noticed because in the band that there was a trumpet player, and I was like, he's nice. I mean, I always check up the band members. It's a thing I've always done. I love the music. I'm there for the music, but a little bonus, it's nice when the band members are hot. Yeah. It's pleasing. So I noticed this trumpet player was doing trumpet, and he was doing percussion, and he was doing keyboards, and he was singing, and moved around. And I really love the configuration of their band because it's really just Meta and the bass player. It's the two of them, and the other people are players. So they're not actually in the band. They are players that read the music that's written for them, and they can change depending on the tour and depending on the album. And so it's just Lars and Meta who are the actual band. Anyhow, so I was watching and I was dancing, and there was a point where she was singing the Golden Age, and she came down and she was singing right to me, and I was singing back at her, and it was just like an amazing moment because she could see that I knew all the words to all the songs, and so she literally was singing to me. And I thought maybe it was in my brain, but I saw this trumpet player. I could swear he was looking like he could see me too, because I knew she was singing to me, because I mean, come on, if you see someone singing your song so passionately, like, that's an amazing thing for a singer, to see someone singing along to your words and having the time of their lives. So anyhow, I thought maybe I was imagining things, that this gorgeous trumpet player was looking at me too, but I thought, no, it's fine. I had a good night. So anyhow, we and my friend Michelle and I, the concert ends. We have an amazing time. We're all sweaty. And it's November, and it happens to be one of the chilliest November nights in Toronto. It was the beginning of winter, like that first night after fall when you feel the cold. Before then, it was okay. And now you're like, oh my God, it's cold. You can feel it in your bones. So we needed coats. So we went to the back. I think I bought a tote bag or something like that. And I went to meet the singer, and I have the picture that we took. We took a picture with me and Meta, and I told her that I loved her lyrics and that I thought she was a great artist, and I really appreciated what they did. And so she was super happy to hear that. And so then I had to pee. And I said to Michi, we should probably go. It's Monday night. I have to work tomorrow. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to go grab our coats. She's a good wing woman. So anyhow, I go pee and I come back, and my hands are like still wet because you know how they never have paper towels in bars. So I'm literally doing the like shake dry. And I see Michi. She's got my coat and her coat. She's not wearing her coat. She's still carrying it. And she's with two guys. And it happens to be the trumpet player, and they also had a trombone player.
Yeah.
And so she's with the two of them. And I was like, oh. So I go over and I was like, hi. And immediately the trumpet player, he looks directly in my eyes and he sticks his hand out and he says, he's like, hello, I'm Julien. His name is Julien, but Julien. He's like, hello, I'm Julien. And he says it with his accent. And I was like, just, hi, I'm Trell. And he's like, Trell? And I was like, Julien. And he said it the like North American way. I was like, no, I couldn't say Julien for like a year and a half. I could say Julien. I was horrible at pronouncing his name the French way. But anyhow, he introduces himself to me and we locked eyes. And at that point, it was like we were alone. The bar was still there. Michi was still there. Tony, that was the name of the trombone player, he was still there. But we were just, I have no idea where everyone went, but we started talking. I asked him about his accent because I couldn't figure it out, because it's not a typical French stereotypical accent. And so when he told me that he was French, I was like, oh. And I was like, I've been to France. I've been to France as you were talking about, Shanti, and we finished school and then we go travel. So I'd done my backpack around Europe right after university, and I spent 5 days in Paris. So I was typically an expert on France. And I went to Nice as well. So we started talking about the fact that I'd been there, and I don't really remember everything else except for the fact that I could not pronounce Montmartre, which is Montmartre. But I was saying the Montmartre is just ridiculous. I butchered the pronunciation, and he was trying to teach me to pronounce it. And anyhow, we chatted until he was tapped on the shoulder by one of the band members because it was time to pack up. And I was tapped on the shoulder by Mitchie because she's like, we should probably go because we're going to miss the streetcar and you have to go to work and everything. So Julien says, I'd really like to keep in touch with you. So we exchanged our Facebook messengers and Facebook profiles. This is 2012. And because I was like, he lives in France. Like, he's on tour. He lives in France. They're going to Montreal in 2 days. Like, this is, he lives in France.
I'm sorry, I had no idea about this meeting, and I'm so
Well, wow, it gets a little bit better. So this is our first meeting, and it's not done. So I go with Mitchie. We go out to get the streetcar. The streetcar's coming. It doesn't stop. We miss it. We are tapping on the streetcar. It doesn't stop. The driver is like, did his typical Toronto streetcar thing. Like, you weren't standing at the stop waiting in the cold for too long enough. I don't know. So he doesn't stop. We don't get the streetcar. And we're like, okay. And just at that moment, my phone, which hadn't been working properly, I get a notification. And it's Julien with a message saying, I wish you didn't have to leave.
Oh.
And, I responded in my best Franglish with "Je suis still outside," and Mitchie just looked at me. And she's like, "Go, go!" Yes. And my car was at her apartment, and I lived in Oshawa, and this is the Hoxton downtown, king of Bathurst. So I was like, "It's fine, I'll figure it out." And she's like, "Here's the code to my garage," because my car was parked in her garage, and she's like, "Go, it's okay." So I was like, just be still outside. And he says, I'm coming. I'm like, okay. So so I wait, and we go to the 24-hour diner, which is next door. And I ordered a green tea, and he ordered a strawberry rhubarb pie, because a slice, not the whole pie, because he wanted to have dessert. And that's where I learned he has a sweet tooth. And we talked for a few hours. All the while the band did their partying or whatever they do. We were at this diner chatting until he was like, oh, the bus is going to leave. And then he's like, I don't want to leave you. And I was like, I don't want you to leave me either. And so we go on to, like, leave the diner, and we go out onto the sidewalk, and he's like, can I come with you? Can I go to, like, we have a day off tomorrow, and we're going to Montreal, and we don't play until the next day. Is there a train? Can I take a train to Montreal? I said, of course you can take a train to Montreal. He says, can I go with you now? Let's go. And so I was like, okay. So I waited on the sidewalk, and he's like, wait before I go I'm going to go tell the band and put my trumpet on the bus. And he's like, just because he has trumpet as a backpack, he still has the same case. It's right over there. And he and I, we kissed on the street, on the sidewalk in front of the streetcar stop that I missed. And I was floating off the ground. It's like that moment when gravity leaves your body and you are in the moment. You're not in your body anymore. It was the most magical moment. And it just got cut a little bit short because Meta and other band members, woo! And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, I'm just going to go and put my trumpet on the bus. And then like, woo, we know why you're not coming to Montreal with us. So he came with me. We went to it in a taxi. We got my car and we drove back to Oshawa. And I did not sleep. Neither did he. That was awesome. What a night. Yeah. You didn't care that I didn't shave my legs.
No, I didn't.
You're both so hot.
And so I took him to the train station the next morning. I went to work and my colleagues were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. They're like, you look different. I looked different. I felt different. I felt like this person is so special. And I didn't understand what I was feeling. The feeling was true love. I just didn't understand that's what it was. It's something I'd never known. I feel really lucky to know it. We chatted the next few nights on Messenger constantly. And he said, come to New York. We're playing in New York this weekend. And it's the last gig before we go back to Europe. And so I was like, what have I got to lose? So I got a plane ticket. I got someone to look after my dog and my cat. And I went to, on Friday night, I went to see Yesayer because I had Yesayer tickets and didn't meet Yesayer because I was not concerned. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that was good. That was a fun light show. And got up super early on Saturday morning and drove myself to the airport, parked in the airport parking. Wasn't too expensive, to be honest. Took the little shuttle, got my airplane, got to New York. I think it was LaGuardia. I don't know. Got to New York and got my taxi and met him in Brooklyn. And we went to, he took me, we checked in, so he'd found a hotel. And he was so sweet because he says, I don't want it to be weird when I say come to New York. And he's like, I'll pay for the hotel. Do you want me to pay for your plane ticket? And I was like, no, it's okay. I can handle that. And so he paid for the hotel and he paid for this weekend. I'd never been to New York City. It was my first time and I haven't been back since. I'd really like to go. And anyhow, we did this thing in New York. So, you know, the song, like, if you get lost between the moon and New York City, the best thing you can do is fall in love. I don't know if you know that song, but I'll send you a link. So we totally fell in love. We went to Strawberry Fields of Central Park and we kissed there. We sat on a park bench and just kissed. And we walked across the entire Brooklyn Bridge. Let me tell you, not necessary. Very, very long. Very, very long. My feet have never hurt so much, but it was still magical. We ate cupcakes in bed. We went to a restaurant and it was called the Rabbit Hole. So I felt like I'd fallen down the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland. We did so many amazing things. And the show was on the Sunday night because he had the weekend off in New York. So like we ate New York pizza. We just were tourists and had such a ball. He took me to MoMA. He took me to the Museum of Modern Art. So I could see my favorite Van Gogh paintings and we saw Picasso's and we just sat there, both of us, and he appreciates art. So we had all these things in common. We got along so well. And I don't know, I almost passed out at one point because I was just literally, I'd forgotten to eat enough. And so he got me soup and a grilled cheese sandwich in a diner. Like, he's just the sweetest. And so on the Sunday, we had to go for sound check and he took me backstage and it was so intimidating because there's Meta, this beautiful woman who I just met and said hello to and thanked the week before or the Monday. Now it's only the Sunday, so not even the week before. And she's doing her own hair and her own makeup and she's good at it. She's super good at it. And she's like, oh, hello, how are you? It's lovely to see you again. And I'm like, what? And then the bass player Lars, as I told you, the other member of the band, comes up to me, puts his arm around me. You better not hurt Julien. He's never brought another girl backstage or anywhere. You're the first person that we've ever met that he's invited anywhere, so you must be pretty darn special. You better not hurt him or I'm gonna know and you're gonna not like what I'm gonna do. Like, I've never, in all the times I've never been backstage anywhere, I'd never been threatened, you could say, to not hurt the band member. I'd never thought of it like that at all. And I was like, well, this is different. I'm absolutely not going to hurt him. No. And so it's just like, I'm the only girl he's brought backstage. He's like, yeah. And anyhow, they played the show, and I remember after the show, Julien found me, and he was a little frustrated. He says, I didn't see you. I couldn't see you in the audience. I said, I was to the side. I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to do any, I didn't want to stop your concentration. It's, you're still a professional and stuff like that. And he's like, oh yeah, thank you. That's right. Cause I probably would have just looked at you the entire night. And so, but he, cause he was super bothered. He couldn't see me dancing. Cause he wanted to see me dancing. He loved the way I danced. And I was like, thanks. So anyhow, we spent one last night in New York and I flew back to work Monday morning and I knew I was in love with him. And to wrap up the story, we did long distance. We talked every day on Skype and we, every few months, one of us went back and forth. Officially, the next time I went to Paris and we had a date in Paris and he took me back to where he lives, where we live now, not the same place, but the same city, Clermont-Ferrand, which is the home of Michelin tires. That's what it's known for. The Michelin headquarters are here in Clermont-Ferrand. It's a city in the Vulcans. We're surrounded by volcanoes in a valley in the middle. So anyhow, he's from here. And so he took me back here to visit areas of France I'd never heard of and never seen and whatnot. It was really beautiful. And like we just, like I said, every few months. And to culminate, his brother, he is married to a Japanese woman. And one of my visits, I came in July 2013, and they got married in Paris. And so we went to Paris for their wedding and I got to meet his whole family for the first time. And I caught the bouquet. It was a little fixed because there were no other single women, just me. So it was a little fixed, but I caught the bouquet. And then, so that was their city hall marriage. And then they had a huge party. Like the reception was a week later and I was still here for that. And I caught the bouquet there and there were a lot more single women. So that felt a little bit more solidified, but we weren't engaged or anything like that. We were still going, we're still trying to figure it out, but we knew we were in love with each other. We just had to figure it out. And then his brother and my sister, well, now sister-in-law, were going to have their wedding in Japan. And in Japan, they don't celebrate Christmas, but New Year's is a big thing. And they knew all the friends and family would be there around then. So over Christmas vacation, I was invited to Japan for the wedding. So I went to Japan and I flew into Tokyo. The wedding was in Gifu City. It wasn't in Tokyo. We had to take a high-speed train. That was cool. But anyhow, I flew into Tokyo and Julien and his brother met me at the airport and we did a tour of Tokyo and it was really amazing. And that night in the hotel, Julien proposed to me and asked me to be his wife in Tokyo, which was really amazing. And then the wedding happened and at the wedding, I caught the bouquet again. And in Japan, the bouquet is not a bouquet, it's a teddy bear.
Oh.
They throw stuffed animals because it's super kawaii and super cute. They don't throw flowers because that's not what you do. It's like sacrilegious. You don't throw flowers, but you throw teddy bears. So they threw a teddy bear and I caught the teddy bear. And we kept it a secret from the rest of the family until the following Easter because we didn't want to take anything away from his brother and his wife. We were there for their wedding. But yeah, it was a really cool thing to meet in Toronto, fall in love in New York, solidify that in Paris, like a first official date in Paris, you could say, and then get engaged in Tokyo. And then I live here.
It's truly the most magical, meant to be story, love story I've ever heard. And in fact, it's real.
Yeah.
Like I feel like
it starts with Shazam. Come on.
Seriously, like people wouldn't believe it. Like it's one of those things you watch a movie, be like, yeah, right, whatever. But
yeah. Wow.
It's real life.
Yeah. Seriously. Talk about, like, have you guys seen the meme? I don't need a boyfriend. I need a backstage pass to find my husband. Have you seen that? If you can, I'll find it and send it to you. And it's like, yeah, totally. I totally get that. I just need a backstage pass.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Trelawney definitely lived out my groupie fantasy in real life. To follow her adventures, head over to her website and her blog at trelawney.com. I'll link that in the show notes.
Next up, we're going to hear from the beautiful and charismatic Ariana Benincasa. Shanti, have you ever been in the exact right place at the right time under the exact right circumstances?
Of course, it's the groupie gift.
Yes, exactly. So while on a trip with her friend, Ariana thought she was going to see a concert of an unknown all-girl band, but suddenly her plans changed when she was asked if she would like to go see Aerosmith instead, backstage passes and all.
I wonder what she said.
Well, let's find out.
Okay, first story, which really sort of kicked off my eye into behind the scenes of the music industry, happened right after I graduated high school, about 10 years or so ago. And my best friend and I had planned to go to New York City. Super exciting. You know, it was just really awesome, be fresh out of high school and first step into the real world, getting on a plane to exciting New York City. So we were staying with her godfather, and he's just wealthy Wall Street kind of guy. And him and his partner were taking us out for a night on the town. And we were in the car, we were driving out of New Jersey. And he turned around and he said, you know, we're planning to take you ladies to go see this all-girl band. You know, they were hyping it up and we were excited. And then he said, or we can go see Aerosmith with backstage passes. And I just look at my best friend Channy and I'm like, what? Is this for real? We just start screaming in the back seat. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is a dream come true. So we're like, yeah, obviously, let's go see.
How is that the plan B?
Right? We're like, how is this even an option? Yes, let's go there right now. So we're driving there and it's just torrential downpour. And the venue that they're playing at, I don't remember which one it was, but it was outdoors. Luckily, when we got there, the rain had stopped. So we settled into our seats and ZZ Top's was an opener. And I had never really, you know, dived in too much to the music, but what characters, just, you know, the sunglasses, the big beards, the fuzzy guitars, and it was just hilarious. And the rain had stopped at this point, but they were covering Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. And just, they were playing that epic guitar and there was just a massive lightning bolt that shot through the sky, like right on time with the song. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I am just living in rock and roll lifestyle right now. This is freaking awesome. So ZZ Top's was playing and then we had someone come over to us and grab us to bring us backstage. So the excitement started. Oh my God, it's happening. We're going backstage.
I love that feeling. That's my favorite yes! feeling in the world.
Best feeling. So we were brought backstage. You know, they told us to just hang out here. And we were just kind of hanging out for a little bit, just kind of, you know, watching everything that was going on. There was Liv Tyler was chilling at a table like a couple feet away having dinner, and I'm just like trying to keep my cool and silently freaking out. Then some of the band members start trickling in. We shook hands with Joe Perry, Joey Kramer, and it was just so exciting. And you know, we were just talking to them. We just graduated from high school and They were really, really awesome. So it was my best friend's godfather's friend that I don't even know if he was their tour manager or what his connection was exactly, but he came over to us and was like, I'm sorry, like girls, like, I don't know if you'll be able to get to meet Steve. Like, we're like, oh, it's okay. Like, we're still really excited to watch from side stage. Like, this is going to be awesome. Then all of a sudden, I just see the rest of the other people hanging out backstage just start like walking quickly towards these few figures. And we're like, what? Oh my God, that's Steven Tyler. He's right there. Oh my God. So, and we were kind of like shy. We're like, oh my God, like, do we go over there and join this little group of people? There must've been like, I don't know, like 10 or 15 people. So we muster up the courage and we go over and I'm just holding my hand out, just like shaking, like, like, am I going to get to shake his hand? So dude just comes over to us, leopard pants, painted nails. You know, he has his famous way of painting his nails. He just does like a strip of black nail polish down the middle. You know, his crazy hair. We shake his hand and he asks
us for a picture. Would you ladies like a picture? Yes, Steven Tyler, we would like a picture. So we go over, we take a picture, and this photo is hilarious. Just, you know, deer in the headlights and just smiling so big. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm touching Steven Tyler. P.S. He has the softest hands of life. Oh my God. I was like very, very pleasantly surprised when I shook his hand.
Damn,
those soft hands. And then what was really funny was Mark Hudson was hanging around. He's Kate Hudson's uncle, and due to such a character, he dyes his beard like a rainbow. He's got blue eyeliner on, this like awesome like purple velvet suit on, and he was like, he took a liking to us. He was chatting with us. He took our camera. We like have a selfie with him. And it was just so crazy, like kind of hanging out back there. Like it wasn't so much of a planned like fan meetup. It was more just like a hang. And it was really awesome to be able to experience that at such a young age. And the guy who brought us back there turned to us after and he's like, if you ladies were just a little older, you'd be in the back of his limo. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Steven Tyler could be my grandfather, but I'll take it. Anyways, we never went to the back of his limo, but we watched the whole show from side stage. And it was so awesome just getting that exclusive access. But it was also really funny because every so often, Steven would, you know, just turn around and put his back to the audience and just like cough or like, you know, just like you get to see all the nasty sides of an old rock and roller. So that was really funny to witness. But yeah, I was just on cloud nine for days and days after that. Such an incredible experience.
It's crazy how it just accidentally sort of came to you guys without knowing or, you know, preparing or anything. It's just this beautiful gift offered. And how cool is that? Just hanging out backstage. And that's the fun part. Just like watching how things are, you know, what happens back there. And
Lynx, have you seen the picture?
I have not seen the picture.
I'll have to send it to you ladies, but it's so funny. Like you will know what I mean when I'm talking about deer in the headlights. Like my eyes are so wide.
I can't wait to see it. This is an unforgettable moment. And yes. When you were describing when Steven Tyler does end up walking and there's almost just like a hush or the energy in the room changes and you knew he was there before you saw him.
Yes, totally. Like, yeah, there was an energy shift. You could just feel it. You could just feel this rock and roll god in your vicinity and you're like, something is changing. Oh my God, Steven Tyler is in the building.
Wow. So just when you think it doesn't get much bigger or better than Aerosmith, what happens?
Enter the Rolling Stones.
We won't spoil it and tell you exactly how that happens. We'll leave it up to Ariana. Hit it.
So this story actually has to do with my own personal experience of working a show with a massive band. I worked with a band called The Glorious Sons, and they were opening for a little band called The Rolling Stones.
Oh my God. What were you doing for work?
So I was The Glorious Sons' day-to-day manager. So, you know, a lot of behind the scenes kind of work. I worked at their label and artist management company. It's kind of all grouped in one. So they have their two like main managers, but then there's always a day-to-day manager that does all the groundwork, all like the day-to-day tasks. So that was a very big day for the Glorious Sons. They opened up for the Rolling Stones at Oro Medonte in Barrie in June of 2019. And it's funny because the first day that I started at Black Box, my boss turned to me and was like, oh, we just found out the Glorious Sons are going to be opening up for the Rolling Stones next year. And I was like, okay, yep, I definitely started the right job. Thank you. So yeah, it was just a long game, you know, lots of prep work. But still to this day, it is one of the best days of my life. It was such an incredible experience, and it really just validated why I do what I do, why I'm working in the industry. And you know, working in music comes with a lot of highs and lows. It can be very stressful. There is not a healthy work-life balance. It is very demanding, but on days like this, it just really puts things into perspective. Like, yeah, this is why I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, most of the day was a lot of me just running around doing whatever I needed to for the Glorious Sons. Not really coming into too much contact with, you know, any Rolling Stones crew or anything. I had to go to all the merch stands but it was just insane seeing how a huge band like the Rolling Stones, how big their whole production is and their touring party is. Like, it's massive. Even the amount of merch tents they had, it was insane. And every single merch tent had long lines. Like, just, it was huge. It was like a big festival show, but just for the one band. Well, there was a few other bands playing that day, but the Glorious Sons had the slot right before they went on. So yeah, like I said, the day was like any other big festival show, just kind of running around, until the boys, the Glorious Sons, were brought to take a photo with the Rolling Stones. And I did not think I would be going along for that. You know, I'm just little old me, just, you know, hustling my ass off. And I didn't expect to join them, but there was a group of us, you know, some of the band's partners and the other managers and whoever else. So we have somebody leading us through. It really was a whole other world. Like, it wasn't just a bunch of trucks and tents. Like, they build an entire like commune for this band and for this show. It's insane. We just were going through, you know, this building, that walkway, like this catering area. It was just insane. So we finally get to this random little building, and it was very much like, okay, you stand here, and the band, you position here in this line. We're going to have the Stones walking in, come and take a picture quick, and then that's it. Like, not too much hanging around and chatting. Like, it's very, very calculated.
And that's somebody's job too, is yes, to say, you stand here and you stand here. And yeah, so that's like the manager of all managers of all managing of things. Like,
yeah. I know, there's
the
just
power. The power.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, oh man, must be so invigorating knowing that like you're on the Rolling Stones team too. And just like, it's, I know when I was on tour with the Glorious Sons and I was leading fans backstage, there is like such a warm feeling in your heart knowing that like you're bringing such a wonderful experience to these fans, and like you are the one walking them back there, you know?
Yeah. You yeah, know that feeling. Yeah. Talk about it. Like, ah.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. Anyway, so we were standing there. I was there with like the Glorious Sons photographer and some other of our crew, and standing back and just waiting for them to walk in. And all of a sudden, you see the glitter, the glamour, the Mick Jagger walking in.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
I just squeezed Gavin's arm, the Glorious Sons photographer. I squeezed his arm. I was like, oh my God, you're right there. Just trying to keep your cool. Like, these are the biggest rock stars on the planet right now. Are you kidding me? I'm like 2 feet away from them. Is this real life? So they start shaking the band's hands and they take their photo, and I'm just like freaking out inside. I can't believe my eyeballs are witnessing this. I had never in a million years would think I would get the opportunity to be this close to them. So it didn't last too long. They took their photo, they left, and as we're walking away, I just break down in tears with happiness and gratefulness over being in that room. And you know, a lot of people have turned to me since I started working in music, like, Ariana, you need to become a little more jaded, like, you're a little bit too gung-ho. And I'm like, no, I will never lose this passion and being overcome by emotion so much to the point that you're moved to tears. Like, that is a big part of who I am. And in that very moment, I just broke down and I turned to my bosses and I said, thank you. Thank you so much for trusting me in this job, for giving me this opportunity. But I was like, it just snapped into place. I'm like, yep, this is where I am meant to be. And it was insane. And afterward, we got a special wristband. So I got to be in the pit right in front of the stage, watching them perform. Like, I didn't have to, you know, go on Ticketmaster to get a ticket. I didn't have to sell my left nut to get a ticket. No. I just got this wristband slapped on me, and I've never seen the Rolling Stones perform before. And seeing them on that stage, you know, Mick moving around like a goddamn rubber band. I don't understand. Like, honestly, they all look like they had one foot in the grave. I don't know how they are that old and still bringing the heat. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I guess that's why they have such a big tour, like, crew, right? They do all the work. They just have to get up for like 2 hours and
shake it,
and then they get to rest again.
Yeah. Like, they don't, you know, come to hang out on the grounds. It's like, they come from the hotel, get out of the car, go right onto stage, and then right back in. Like, that's how they left the stage at the end of the night. Like, they got off the stage, right into a black vehicle, off. Like, they're off. They're not sticking around. But my favorite feeling in the world is having that special access and being in front of that guardrail and looking behind you, and not only being like, suckers, I'm in front of you, but also just witnessing everybody's faces and their joy and singing the words back. It's just the best feeling, being in between all the fans in the band and just like feeling that energy, just like, oh yeah,
there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
All right, everyone. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this special episode. We're going to have a few more coming up this summer, so stay tuned. And thanks again to Trelawney and Ariana for sharing those. What fantastic stories.
If you want to send us one of your story ideas, email us at musespod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Muses is researched, edited, and produced by us, Chantel Lemieux and Lynx O'Leary.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season 2 even more memorable together.